Welcome to today's Everton Fans Forum podcast, following our last meeting with the club, which was Thursday, the 29th of October. It's me, Dave Witchley, as today's host, and today we're joined by Fans Forum Chair Jaz Ball and Tony.
Hi, mate.
Hi, Jaz, and Tony Sampson.
Hi, gents. How you doing?
Good, cheers.
So we're going to be running over the highlights of what we discussed in the last meeting. There's plenty to go through. So without any particular order, I'll start with you, Tony, if that's okay. I'm not going to mention the football because it wasn't a good result at the weekend. So the less said about what's going on the pitch, the better. We'll definitely keep matters off the pitch this afternoon. I think there was one asked actually on this today on Twitter. So it'll be a timely thing to talk about. The golden question for everyone at the moment is Bramley Moore. Updates and it was discussed, was it, on the last meeting, Tony? So if you, I don't know if you could run through the highlights surrounding Bramley Moore.
Yeah, that's right. It was discussed because the meeting was just a week after the closure of the deadline for the extended consultation on the amendments that the club had made to the original application. So that consultation ended on the 22nd of October. So people might remember that the club had updated and amended its application for the new stadium based on some observations from stakeholders like English Heritage and UNESCO and some of the concerns that they'd raised. So that was submitted, and then that was then subject to another, I think, a 28-day consultation. So that closed on the 22nd of October. We asked the club, first of all, you know, what's sort of been the response to that? Did they get much of a response from people on this phase of the consultation, and also any feedback they got in the next step? So I think they were quite pleased with the levels of response again from a range of different stakeholders actually right across the world. I don't think they get any detailed feedback at this stage of the process from Liverpool City Council and the planning committee. They'll get that a little bit further on in the process, but I think, you know, some of the informal feedback that they got was that, you know, they were certainly pleased with the level of response that that had come from, you know, from people around the city and beyond as well. So that will now be considered as part of a special planning committee that the council will convene, which they're hoping will happen before the end of the year. And then obviously, you know, the club, like all of us, are hoping that, you know, that gets the green light, and then they can start with the next steps and making this more of a reality. So so fingers crossed on that one. But as I say, club happy with the level of response, and let's hope it now gets through the planning committee, hopefully before the end of the year.
Fantastic. I think people start to panic, don't they, when there's a bit of quiet time and there's nothing being on Bramley Moor, and, you know, for a week, I think people start getting nervous at times. But yeah, no, it was a positive update, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was. It was good. It was good, and it was good to see as well. You know, people from all over the place getting involved in that as well. So I know from North America there was a load of supporters groups that wrote a joint letter as well to highlight their support and also underline the links between the city, Everton, and also the importance of, you know, what the stadium can bring in terms of sort of tourism and other things. So it was great to see, you know, groups beyond the UK and beyond the city getting involved and offering their support as well.
Yeah, I couldn't echo that anymore. It's obviously tourism's a big factor, you know, if the economy wants to get going again when obviously the pandemic finishes, you know, tourism is going to be a huge factor. So that, to see that positive reinforcement from abroad is fantastic to see. So hats off to the international supporters that did contribute to that part of the process. In relation to the obviously the other bigger issue that's been on the horizon at the moment was Project Big Picture, and I'll stay with you for this one, Tony. That was again, that was discussed with the club, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Obviously, lots has been said on this about sort of the merits and you know, the potential issues about this. Obviously, it caused a massive media furore when it first came out that, you know, the proposals were on the table and being driven by, you know, a select number of clubs. So without sort of going into the details on that, I think the thing that we were keen to really impress upon the club was that, you know, our understanding is that, you know, some of the initial proposals, and, you know, obviously impacted fans, and there were some aspects of that initial proposal that, you know, included, you know, a fan charter as well. And I think it was very well documented that at the shareholders meeting, you know, our CEO was reported sort of, you know, made a strong point that aside from the sort of the detail of the proposals themselves, what was really important that is, as this resurfaces, if it does resurface, what's going to be critical is, you know, that this isn't just something that's sort of driven by a small select number of individuals or clubs or what have you, but actually it's critical to involve, you know, a whole load of different stakeholders in whatever happens next. So, you know, we obviously welcome that. And, you know, from our point of view, you know, we ask the club to ensure that when and if this does rear its head again, that, you know, they need to make sure that they, you know, they're consulting Evertonians on it as well. So, and also that the forum, you know, is involved in that process. So we were reassured by that. And, you know, as I say, we'll see what happens with the actual proposal itself, but, you know, we're going to have a say in that, and we'll make sure that Evertonians do as well.
Interestingly, that kind of segues into our next area, which is some real positive news. And I'm sure, Jazz, you were really positive about this announcement, but the affiliation with the Football Supporters Association, and then obviously segueing into recruitments, that, you know, that announcement the other day is something very important when it comes to the wider issues, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So the article's actually gone live on the Everton website today as well, but I think it gives us a level of sort of acknowledgement that we are doing things the right way, we are independent, and now we've got another sort of avenue to get this information straight, like in tandem to what we do get fed from Everton as well. In terms of the FSA as well, like they are the national body for supporters in England and Wales, and when I've been liaising with them over the last month or two in the process of putting this application in, it's been nice to know that a lot of the things we've been doing during sort of lockdown and the whole sort of isolating piece is in line with the direction they've been given. And then also recent activities that they've been sort of championing are, and that includes like Project Big Picture as well as the European Super League and sort of a whole raft of other fan issues as well. So it's a positive step that we've made, and it'll gain us a level of sort of a foothold in the next level up, if you like. Having spoken to them a fair bit, there's one of the areas of the terms of reference that it seemed a bit strange since I've been on the forum, that we do our recruitment to sort of kick in for new members joining in February. And I remember thinking at the time, it's a bit of a strange time for it to happen. So after consulting with the FSA, we're basically deviating slightly from our terms of reference. So all current members will now serve 3 years and 4 months as opposed to 3 years. And what that will do is that'll extend our tenure to 4 and 9 with the season itself. One of the issues that we were having is that as the sort of the senior members who've been on the forum the longest get to the end of their time and leaving the forum, stuff inevitably gets missed in the handover, and we lose a bit of momentum potentially. So at least this way, it'll give better continuity throughout the season, and then it'll also give the individual members that sort of sense of achievement as well, that they've seen one of the projects through until the end of the season. So on the back of that, now we will, instead of doing the sort of the recruitment starting in December for being in place in February, we're now probably going to start it in April to kick in for sort of June, July time. Now, hopefully that'll also have a secondary benefit of new members will be able to get up to speed with how the forum works before the season kicks off. And then obviously things are going to get a lot busier as well. But in terms of the deviation from the terms of reference, that's the only deviation we're making. We're going to be recruiting 5 members this year, so that'll kick off in approximately April, as I said. That'll take the current membership up to 13. Even though we've got 15 at the moment, the terms of reference basically say no more than 15. So, but we're still in line with that. And the thinking on reducing that to 5 is, if we were to lose 7 members this year, that's pretty much 50%, and that's a lot of sort of corporate knowledge to lose in one go. So by reducing it to 5 for next year's recruitment, it balances out over the 3 years, so that'll be 2 years of 4 and 1 year of 5. So it just makes it easier to manage for us as well, to give continuity to sort of ongoing multi-season projects, if you like.
Fantastic, Jazz. Thanks very much for that. I think it's a real positive step for us as the forum, and certainly, you know, that affiliation with the Football Sports Association as well is huge, really. So it's something to be proud of, isn't it? And something that we can welcome and real progress on. So,
It is, mate. Sorry, just want to sort of add one bit on there as well. So I might as well give them a little plug while we're on here. So today I have three categories of membership, individual, associate and affiliate. Now, anybody can sign up to be an individual member. In terms of sort of organisations, then you have the associates and affiliates. So the main difference between the two in terms of day-to-day businesses, when it comes to votes, affiliates get 5 votes and associates get 1. But now that we've managed to get that affiliation, we're in with a good crew, to be honest. There's 4 other Everton supporters organisations on there at the minute. There's the Harrogate branch, the South Wales branch, Satis, and the Blue Union as well. So they've all got associate membership, and then obviously we've been lucky enough to get that affiliate membership.
Fantastic. It's going to be quite important, especially the times that we're in at the moment, to have that. And you know, it's certainly put it in the spotlight, you know, the need to all come together during this challenging time over the last 6 or so months. So talking about the pandemic and not being able to go to the game, obviously part of that is the refund process that has been ever evolving, really, as things have changed. Tony, there was an update about the refund process, wasn't there? That was discussed in the meeting. Obviously, it's been ongoing discussions, but there was a further update.
Yeah, I think we've talked before on one of these pods, and the club's released details in the past about sort of the points in the season about when it was going to, you know, sort of issue the refunds. But it sent an email to season ticket holders on, I think it was the 23rd of October, with more detail around how that process would work. You know, with a little click button for people to generate those refunds. So that went out on the 23rd. I think those that don't have an email address in the club's sort of system and membership system, I think they were due to get a call and should have had a call. And then if they weren't able to reach those people, and there were no sort of active sort of bank details held in the system for the club to start the refund process, then I think that refund's just sort of act as a credit. But that process has started now, and I think some of the anecdotal feedback sort of that we've seen on social media is that it's been relatively smooth. So I think obviously, you know, the club's been able to learn from you know, some of the systems that it implemented the last time it did this at the end of last season. We did have a conversation with them about whether, you know, these fixed dates at which they're going to be doing the refunds, whether they could maybe consider sort of adjusting that so it falls in line with, you know, when the scheduling and the changes to the TV games are announced. But I think they're going to stick to the system that they've already said that they would. So those dates have already been announced. And again, I think part of the logic behind that is that, you know, they believe that means that, you know, fans will be in credit, you know, for when they are announced and when those refunds play in, you know, especially, I'm sure we'll talk about pay-per-view in a minute, but, you know, when those fixtures are announced. So so that's what they're going to do on that. I think they're hoping that the first batch of refunds will be processed the day before the Fulham game, which I think is due to be currently the first pay-per-view game. And that'll mean that any future matches shouldn't require any fans to pay in advance, as they should have had the money refunded from the previous game. So that's the logic and that's the process. As I say, you know, we're going to keep continuing to talk to the club about this. We know, particularly when it comes to pay-per-view, that this has been a very lively topic and a very, you know, we've had lots of representation on this issue. But, you know, we'll continue to talk to the club on this and, you know, as it rolls out.
Can I just add one bit on that as well? So the current window for supporters or season ticket holders, lounge members to make their selection is this Friday. So if any fans are listening and they want to change what the sort of default settings are, please get on there by the end of the week to make them get captured.
And that's on their account bit of the website, is it, Jez?
You literally, if you've had the email, you'd need to follow the link through that, because there's also a set code. I went on and amended my details, for example. So it's literally click the link, enter your customer number, I think it was your surname, and your reference number, which came with the email. And then it gives you the option to change what you do, whether you want credit, whether you want bank payments, whether you want to make a donation to Everton and the community, etc. But you've got until this Friday to to change what your whatever you selected at the end of last season is what's basically getting accepted as your default. So if you can get on there now, or by the end of the week at least, you should be able to make sure any changes are incorporated into the refund.
Fantastic. And I think it is, you know, speaking from personal experience, going on there as a season ticket holder, certainly like what you've said there, Tony, speaking to other Blues that have done it and doing it myself, you know, it is very easy, very user-friendly. And, you know, there's the caveat that, you know, if it doesn't work or you have an issue, just contact the club directly and they're ready and waiting to answer them queries and to make sure it's sorted out for you.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's a lot of things to talk about in terms of what's happened during this pandemic. And, you know, it's some really, you know, tragic stories right across the country of how the pandemic's affected individuals and, you know, supporters and various other members of society. But the impact of actually playing these games behind closed doors has had a huge impact on supporters. Now, I know myself and your Tony have just got off the phone to Everton since this meeting. But we actually brought this topic up on the last meeting. I was quite conscious to do that because I was approached by one of our well-loved Blues, Jay Deacon, who runs a group called Talk Hub. For anyone that hasn't checked that out, it's at talkhub_. But Jay does a lot of the mental health walk talks, a lot of Zoom calls, and done a lot of really good, meaningful work over lockdown, supporting a lot of the Blues and Reds or other football fans out there during the pandemic, just to keep people connected. And by the virtue of the pandemic, it's become harder and harder, and people have felt more and more isolated, not having Everton in their life. So Jay has approached myself, knowing I was on the forum, and wanted to talk about how he's feeling, you know, about that feeling that he's just not feeling the same at the moment, not being able to go to the game, not seeing the same faces that he sees on the away coach. I asked Jay to write a letter to myself so I could actually put it in his words to the club, just to make them really understand how some of the Everton fans out there are feeling, because there's been a lot of online chatter, certainly on social media platforms like Twitter, and Grand Old Team have just set up a fantastic thread that you can go on their platform and talk about this issue, about mental health. And Jay articulated it, you know, better than I could ever do so. So it was good to actually read that letter to the club. But for us Blues, I think sometimes it's more than just the game. You know, it's that sense of community. It's a routine. It's a way of life, really. And not to have that, it's kind of, you know, really big deal. And it's just got, you know, it's gone on a lot longer than we've expected. So we read, obviously, them accounts out to the club about how fans are feeling out there. Just to really just open that way of communication to the club to say, look, you know, that this is the situation at present. Fans are feeling a bit disconnected. What can we do? And it was really pleasantly surprising, you know, to see the real positive reaction from Everton. Tony, I don't know if you've got anything to add to that, but they seemed really receptive straight away, didn't they, of understanding that, understanding the fans' voices and straight away wanting to do something about it.
Yeah. And actually, I don't think I was that surprised, to be honest. I think if you look at, you know, what the club does already with, you know, within the community, you know, I think, you know, it didn't surprise me that, you know, they wanted to see if they could help in some way. And as you say, you know, it is, you hear this on podcasts and you know, YouTube interviews and all sorts all the time, you know, what Everton means to people. And I think, you know, everybody talks about, you're right, that sense of belonging and the sense of community. So, naturally, when that isn't there, you know, it impacts people in different ways. So, you know, as you say, you know, the club sort of followed up pretty quickly with a meeting with, you know, ourselves and Jay to sort of try and, you know, get some ideas on paper to see, you know, what can be done to sort of keep building that connection, you know, because it obviously looks as though it's going to be a while yet before, you know, we're all going to be together. So I just think that's really encouraging, and it's actually something, you know. Again, I always go on about international because I'm here in Chicago, but, you know, it's the same here. Like, you know, last weekend, the restrictions around sort of access to bars and restaurants that I know that you felt have been in place for a little bit longer in Liverpool now, but you know they kicked in over here, you know, and it just means that you know the normal groups of people just aren't able to come together to you know to watch the game of you know all different clubs, you know, and that has an impact, you know, it impacted the numbers that were able to be there. It impacts the livelihoods and the you know the staff that work there, and also as you say, you know, people that get into that routine. So you know, it impacts us, you know, Evertonians everywhere. So I'm just delighted to first of all that Jake felt able to you know to share his experience and secondly now that the club's you know hopefully gonna get involved and help find a way to maybe keep building that connection.
You're quite right there, Tony, and I think you raise a good point that the club have particularly been very good on this side of things. You know, the Blue family referrals. We've seen some really heartwarming stories right the way through the pandemic. And when you say surprise, it's not a surprise at all, because we do seem to be always proactive in this area, you know, and we are a club of firsts. You know, our community values like no other, really. You know, it's one thing that we can you know, say for sure that we're just incredibly proud of Everton Football Club. And hopefully now we can do something really meaningful to get that reconnection back. And funny enough, we were talking about this, weren't we, about what people miss from the match the most, and it's different for everyone. So I mean, my routine would be normally meeting up at a certain time on County Road, seeing the same old faces in the pub, and you know, getting to the game and saying hello to people. There might have been a pint involved or two, but you know, it's seeing them faces of people that sometimes you don't even know their name, you know, but you know you might know a first name or a nickname, and you know you say hello to them, you talk to them every game for years really, and you don't see them anymore, and you know that's been something. Jazz, what would you say you're missing most from your normal routine?
I meet up with different groups, you know what I mean? So I go to the game with one of my mates, his dad, his mates are 2 80-year-olds and 2 50-year-olds. And then we'll always go to town first, have a few bevvies and that, and then head down to the ground. I'll sit with another group in there. And then after the match, I meet up with a different group and end up carrying on the motion. So there's sort of 3 different groups of friends out sort of most match days. And it's the whole day for me. You know what I mean? That's what I'm missing. But do you know what? I appreciate it's not safe to go at the moment. And I think everybody is singing off the same song sheet, aren't they? As soon as it is safe to go, we'll all be back there together.
Definitely. And it's finding a way somehow that we can virtually connect and still feel, you know, as a community, albeit not there and, you know, physically, but maybe we can find a way around that for now. And like you say, it's hopefully be back at the game soon. But we can only keep our fingers crossed. So that's an ongoing discussion now. The club, obviously, today's meeting was with Christine at the club, and obviously Jay Deacon came as part of that just to really voice, you know, how he feels and his experiences from what he, you know, he's been doing over the pandemic, all the good work. So hopefully something really positive comes out of that, and we can find a way of connection, whether that be virtual or by other means. So that's just a good example, I think, of fans reaching out to the forum, us communicating how they're feeling to the club, and then the club taking that on board and doing something really proactive in the area. So watch this space, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come from this area.
Yeah, and to be honest, that sort of brings us on to one of the other items we spoke about in the meeting. So obviously we've had our experiences that we haven't been able to do, but also it's one of the prime opportunities for the fans, regardless of age, to sort of get a bit of player engagement. You know what I mean? So at the end, down the park end, where they can see the players come in and out, get their autographs, get selfies with them, etc. So that's one of the other sort of points that we brought up at this last meeting as well. Basically saying that are there any plans to sort of increase the fan player engagement? Now the feedback we got at the time was that the sort of number of engagement activities are still in line with what happened last year and the year before. A lot of stuff has been happening on match days with supporters clubs and the introduction of the new live match day show. So I know recently there's been sort of overseas groups and like Malaysian Toffees and the likes have been getting involved with all that as well. And also sort of Danny Griffiths has been sort of getting in touch with other groups as well during the half-time sort of piece as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that is going on. And also there's been a lot of referrals through the Blue Family campaign as well. So the form is still live on the website. So if anybody does know anybody who needs a lift or has gone through a time of hardship and that, please get on the, just Google Everton Blue Family referral form. That'll take you straight there. And that's the sort of the prime method of initiating all these like Twitter messages and Facebook pictures and videos that everyone's seeing when the players are getting in touch with sorts of fans in that hour of need as well. There is a plan as well to ramp up non-Blue Family referrals in the run-up to Christmas in what would normally be the Blue Crimbo scheme. So we're waiting on a bit more to come out about that, but that's there's also going to be sort of potential to do virtual fundraising activities as well and get the supporters involved with a bit more interaction, which isn't necessarily directly related to the Blue Family referrals.
I wonder what the song will be for the Crimbo this year.
Are you singing on that one, Jazz?
I'll empty pots when I sing. That's the last thing anybody needs to hear.
We're still trying to get Kieran and Mike off the forum on the TikTok front.
So
aren't
I believe they'll be doing some dances and the likes and that. So hopefully that'll be another launch soon.
So yeah, look out for the TikTok launch from Kieran and Mike from the forum. That hopefully we can get that underway. So you know, I couldn't agree any more. And that's the story of the positive, proactive work that we've done in the lockdown. It's something to be very proud of as a fan base. You know, it really reached out. It's a good service. You use it if you're listening to this and you think of someone. Just to re-echo Jazz's words. Obviously, the retail side, we've had continuing communications with the club over retail. Obviously, it's a specific project group that you're on, Tony. What was the retail side that was discussed on the meeting for people listening?
Yeah, so there was a couple of things. One a bit more practical, and one, as you said, has been a bit of a long-running issue, actually, not just this year, but actually for quite a while. So one of the things was, for people that might have an issue with products that they buy, particularly if it's online, is to make sure that they keep some form of proof of purchase when they do. So if, particularly if they do get it online, and what they should do is, when they are raising that, they should tag Everton Direct, so at Everton Direct on social media, just so that they can follow that up as quickly as they can. I know from personal experience, I've also done that, and the response has been pretty good. So just a reminder for people to do that if they've got any issues or with the merchandise or anything they're buying from the stores there. The second one, as I said, is a bit of a long running issue. It's something that we've consistently raised with the club, and this is just around the availability of merchandise and stuff in markets beyond the UK. So we've particularly raised the issues in Ireland. Our Brazilian colleagues and others in South America have raised this as well. Obviously, we've done the same from the US, and just a bit of a constant grumble, really, that it's difficult to get that, and just visibility is low. So as I say, we ourselves have had a couple of sessions with Hummel and the club to sort of try and keep this moving. I think we're due to meet with Fanatics as well. So we raised that again because it's continuing to be an issue. The club has made a little bit more availability of some limited ranges of merchandise in the US through Fanatics and a couple of other websites, but it's still fairly limited. In fact, I think when it comes to Brazil, I think even Richarlison tweeted out, didn't he, that it was about time that people in Brazil could get hold of an Everton shirt. So we took the opportunity to raise this with the club again. They told us that they're working on it. It is a priority for them at senior levels within the club, and they're working actively with both Fanatics and Hummel, to see if they can find a solution on this. So they've told us they're going to keep us updated on how that moves, and hopefully there's going to be some movement on that, so that wherever you are, whether it's Ireland or North America or Brazil or whatever, you can get your hands on Everton merch.
Just for people listening, thanks for that, Tony. Just for people listening, Jazz, if you, as the chair of the fans forum, someone who's been on the forum longer than me and Tony,
You set me up here.
when an issue is, well, that's setting you up. I said that definitely not setting you up, but just to add context for people. Obviously, sometimes I think people think we raise an issue and then just leave it. You know, you've seen some people say that, but you know, I think it's fair to say that that's not the case, is it? You know, we're always constructively looking to work on some of these things, whether it be short term or long term. And you know, I think you'll probably be able to echo that, won't you? That, you know, since your time on the forum, that there are plenty of things that we continually open dialogue over and
absolutely.
Try and work
so
on with the club.
Even though we have the main forum meeting once a month, that doesn't mean that the only time we work is once a month. The dialogue, as soon as the issue's raised, we're constantly battling back and forth to sort of get feedback and hasten responses. And then all of our project groups as well will have separate meetings. Even though there's no minutes for them, for example, the main meeting following will have a back date from that group as well. So obviously we try and get updates as soon as we can, but there's like this is a prime example of something that isn't going to be a quick fix. We've been highlighting the sort of availability of merchandise outside the UK. It's a fine line now, because it's part of the sort of the three-way relationship between Everton, Hummel and Fanatics. That between the three of them, they need to do their due diligence on potential retail outlets that we've recommended, which should come to us from fans. And in effect, it looks like it's going to be a slow burner, but that's not to say that we're not hastening throughout the month, and especially in the run-up to Christmas as well.
Fantastic, cheers for that, Jazz. Just because it's a question, no doubt, for people listening and think, well, how does it actually work behind the scenes? So I think that's some real context for people to understand what goes on with the work on the forum between the club and other stakeholders. So the other thing that has been in the news, and obviously we've kind of already touched on, is the pay-per-view. And Tony, I'll just come to yourself, and no doubt Jazz, I'll have a few bits to add to this as well. What was discussed in relation to the pay-per-view?
I mean, I think the main issue... you know, again, you know, obviously this has caused a lot of discussion. But you know, we shared the feedback, you know, that we've had, which was, you know, was taken on board by the club. I mean, I think obviously the main issue was that, you know, charging £14.95 was just too much. That was the overwhelming bit of feedback that we got. So you know, we took the opportunity to sort of, you know, share our concern about that again. We also just asked sort of, you know, where does the money go? Once it's paid. So the club confirmed that, you know, once all the production costs have been taken from that, then the remainder, you know, is spread amongst other Premier League clubs. But as I said, you know, the overwhelming bit of feedback we gave was, you know, was the concern about, you know, this is a really high cost. You know, we don't pay that much over here in the US to sort of watch Everton. So, you know, that was something that we, you know, we asked for them to, you know, to keep feeding back in.
Yeah, just to add on that as well. So obviously the £14.95 is the general feeling is it is too much for basically what an effect would be 100 minutes of coverage. But for the last couple of meetings, certainly in August and September, it's been minuted that we have been pushing that while fans aren't available or aren't able to attend the match, that they should be able to view it. So we have been pushing that. So it's just to sort of balance the conversation. We have been pushing for an option for fans to be able to watch the matches. You can check the minutes. We've been sort of stressing that in an ideal world, that'd be without any additional expense to the fans. And that's the sort of the message that we'll carry on fighting for. But to be realistic, I think it's likely that there will be a charge, because it's not the same as what it was at the end of last season when it was all a bit new and whatever else. We'll still keep fighting to make sure that the price is sort of in line with potentially what they pay in the Football League. And this is one of the other areas that the FSA have been sort of championing as well. So another sort of stream to our sort of information now is the FSA. So as soon as we get as soon as they get any feedback, hopefully we'll get the information from there as well.
Fantastic. So it all just fits in hand, which just gives us that better scope, doesn't it, on the larger issues and the wider projects across the league. So it's great to see that all, how that all fits in as well. So that kind of brings us to a close on the summary of minutes. Just before we finish up, Jazz, I'll start with you. Have you got anything further to add or any other business?
I think I just dropped out again.
Yes, sorry. You've
No, you're still on. He's trying to get away with that. Sorry,
I was just asking if you'd had any further business to share with anyone, or you're happy to close.
That's a decent summary of what actually took place during the meeting. So obviously there's still ongoing work to continue, and we'll be making sure that does happen.
Cheers, Jazz. Tony, anything from yourself?
No, nothing else from me. Just hope we can get back to winning ways at the weekend.
Fantastic. So thank you for everyone for listening. Look after yourselves. Look out for everyone else out there. Keep smiling, and hopefully the Blues will get back winning. And of course, we always like to close as well with a fan's voice, being the Everton Fans Forum. And today it'll be Matty Lamb with what other song can we close with but Spirit of the Blues. Bye for now.
It's the news for the Blues. We've got no time to lose, 'cause we're hot on the trail, and there's nowhere we're gonna fail. So get your coat on and get moving, 'cause we don't know the feeling of losing. So come on, come on, and get down to Goodison Park. Everton, it never shines so brightly. Everton, the spirit of the Blues. Everton, it never shines so brightly. Everton, the spirit of the Blues. The move, we've got something to prove, and it's no surprise that the Blue Boys are on the rise. So get your coat on and get moving, we don't know the feeling of losing. So come on, come on, get down to Goodison Park. Everton, it never shines so brightly. Everton, the spirit of the Blues. Everton, it never shines so brightly. Everton, the spirit of the Blues. It never shines so brightly. Everton, the spirit of the Blues. Everton.